the church, the body of Christ, start? Seems to be a huge question everywhere, but it's important to know because of the doctrine that we live today. If we can't figure out at the point to where our doctrine is for today, then if we can't figure out where the church started, then there's no way we can figure out our doctrine for today, because of the basis of all the different things that have gone on from the Old Testament all the way through New Testament scriptures and then Paul's epistles. And so it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it, because that's by where we stand on our salvation and on how we live as a body today. I mean, so a lot of people say, well, you don't have to attack it, or you don't have to get mad about it. You don't have to. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is there is a doctrine that we're called to today to live by so it can change others' lives. If we just forever and ever go and say, well, that's just what you believe and that's what I believe, and then we'll never have it right. So it's ultimate to know these things. The church today started what I believe and what most grace churches that I've found to believe after Paul's salvation. We'll see that as we study the church, the body of Christ, when you compare it to the Jewish church that was before Paul was saved. And the scriptures are extremely clear in this. And you'll notice that things that Paul has in his epistles aren't affiliated at all with the things that are in the Old Testament scriptures, that are in the prophetic program, or that were given to the other 12 apostles. And those are things that you can see, and the scriptures make it clear. It's not just because I think this way, but the scriptures can make it clear. And that's what I hope we see tonight. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Growing up from as a Presbyterian and into the Baptist churches, because they mixed the denominations mixed so much doctrine up, I had no trouble moving right into the Baptist church. And today, even the Baptist church today, and this ain't to down this, it's just as they go to their places every year, to their conventions, they make changes in their doctrine by which they believe. I went every year for about 5 or 6 years, and so that's what happens. And they base it on what their theology is and how they learned it. So they're using educated guesses, but there's some wrong dividing in there too. But your churches, all the way up through there, always believe that the church started in Acts chapter 2, as if Acts chapter 2 was some great thing that happened as we became what people believe a New Testament church. Well, if the New Testament or the New Covenant is to Israel and we're not Israel, then we don't have a covenant church, do we? And a lot of people go straight to Acts chapter 2, and this is why they believe this. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now we see the words here, them, they, and it's speaking directly to those of Israel and those apostles, if you read chapter 1. Okay? Most today believe the church started in Acts 2 because of this Spirit being poured out. And the Pentecostal movement will tell you today, in order to be baptized, you have to be baptized with the Spirit and you need to speak in tongues. That's what the Pentecostal church and the charismatic movement will tell you. I've been told that before. Okay? And they'll bring it down to here as with this Holy Spirit baptism. Well, the issue was the Holy Spirit came upon them. By the way, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see where the Holy Spirit would come upon these people and they were able to do great works. And it was of the Jewish and of the and of the Jewish church and these apostles that had these works and were able to do these things. Let's not forget that as a Jewish believer, okay, one who feared God, the Jews required certain things. What were they? Signs, wonders, and miracles. And so when this happened, today many churches will say, well, there it is. And they'll claim that you're Israel. Okay? There's nothing said, though, in what we've read through the Word that this would be a key issue of starting a new church, would it? We don't read that anywhere in it. We don't see it, say it in it. And the Word should mean exactly what it says. But what we will see as we read these Scriptures is all it was is a fulfillment of prophecy dealing not with something new as a church, but dealing with end times. Okay? So let's continue to read in chapter 2 and let's look through verse 4 and we'll read a little bit. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." Now, this is Pentecost. Who all came to Pentecost? Jews. Gentiles didn't go to Pentecost. But we've always read this as if all the world came together. This is Jews that went to Passover. It was Jews that went to Pentecost. The feasts were celebrated by Jews. And that's who he's talking about. He says in verse 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes." Well, what was a proselyte? Because a lot of us say, there you go. A proselyte was one that may have been of Greek or Gentile that became that as of a Jew. It means they picked up the Jewish roots. They had to go through Israel to be saved. Scripture is clear what a Gentile had to do. They had to show honor and favor to who? They had to give alms to who? To Israel. And they became that as of an Israelite. And all these people, we say, well, they're coming from all over the world. Well, let's remember what had happened. Jews had been what? Scattered. And so for the feast, they traveled from all over the place. They had been, others had been raised and been born, children grow, and they learn the language of where they live, and they all come to the feast. All these Jews, all this of Israel coming together, and these guys have the Holy Spirit come upon them, signs and wonders and miracles, and they're able to understand what these men are saying in their own tongue. It's not some holy Bible. It's the language that these guys had to understand, or they wouldn't have understood if one guy would have stood up and made noise of one language, right? And so they all understood, they were all amazed because these guys spoke these languages and they were all Galileans, right? And so we see that where these came from. But it says proselytes. Verse 11 says, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh,
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So what do you have here? You have an issue where Christ has been crucified, dead and buried, and rose again. You don't see anything about the forgiveness of sins, do you? Because they don't know anything about that yet. Their forgiveness of sins comes when? At the times of refreshing. And so you have this feast. Everybody came from everywhere. Peter stands up. And what does he speak about what it is? A new church? I read nothing in there about a new church. Instead, what I read is, this is that which is spoken of, right? In Isaiah, I believe, and in Joel, dealing with end times. What's going to happen? These guys are thinking, before in chapter 1, they want to know if he's going to establish his kingdom again. If he's going to sit on his throne again, like it had happened before. But there was a promise made in Matthew to where the end times will come first. Well, they're thinking, I believe this is the end times. What happens from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8, if you read it, you see what? A scattered Jewish people. You see them being persecuted. What did they know was going to happen? They were going to have to do what? Endure. Right? And you see nothing in chapter 2 about a new church. Instead, as you continue to read, you'll see what they need to do. They're being told to endure. They're being told to do all these things to follow, to endure to the end times for the time of refreshing. But all day today, if you ask somebody that is in church enough or in a building enough that they think is a church, they'll tell you this is when the new church started. They'll even tell you they're the New Testament church. There's even signs out there that say they're the New Testament of such and such. We didn't have a testament at all. The covenant was to Israel. We are of Gentile faith, and the only Gentiles here were proselytes, those that became as Israel. And so, it's clear, I see no church here, and it is what it says. It says, this is that, and it also says, in the last days. Would either of these comments be new at all? It wouldn't be. There's no way. This is a continuation of a program that was prophesied, that was told about in the Old Testament, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was told, it was told, it was told. And what was happening? It was coming fulfilled. These things were coming. Why? How would the Jews believe? Because they required what? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay? And that's what we see. It had to be it had been spoken to come. In fact, it was the last days for the nation of Israel. For those that believed, the real, true Israel. Because there was part of Israel that didn't believe. Were they considered Israel? If they didn't believe, they weren't. They were considered now, today, or in Paul's epistles, as heathen, as uncircumcised. They were considered no different than Gentile or anything. They were all the same by which they were saved under Paul. And so we see this. I mean, to get ahead, these people could go back to Isaiah and Joel and see the very things that Peter was preaching. And we're not going to go there for the sake of time. Acts chapter 9. Let's just see a little bit of a difference. So we know, as we're going to Acts chapter 9, that we saw no new church here in Acts chapter 2. And if you continue to read Acts chapter 2, I think there's three or four times that Peter says, ye men of Israel, ye men of Israel, ye men of Israel. I see no Gentile, I see no new church. Okay? In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So we see here all the way to Acts chapter 9, here is Saul, who is soon to be Paul, And his goal is to kill anybody that was of what? This Acts 2. Or Acts 3, as they were of what?
This way.
See, they were a different way than Paul. They were not the same. Now, Paul followed the law. Paul was, he was devout, he was very learned. But he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He did not believe Jesus was the resurrected Lord. And the forgiveness of sins wasn't an issue at all of this way yet. Right? And so it goes on to say, and it says in verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And as you continue to read, you'll see what he would do. And you'll see what he was called to do. The issue was, he definitely believed that Jesus was the Christ, right? There was no question about it. If you go on to Acts chapter 13 and look at verse 1. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me and Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." So from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 13, there are no other apostles that are with Paul that are following, and Paul is doing the same works that they were doing. In fact, there is something new that Paul had been called to do. So we see a work that wasn't what Peter had, right? There was a church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. It was a Jewish church in Acts 2. And we got to remember, just because it says church doesn't make it the same church. From the Old Testament to what we call the New Testament Scriptures today, which is in our book, which don't make it right either. All the way through in Paul's epistles, these churches that are named are different churches. One is a church that was the prophecy program that was to the Jews. That the prophecy was being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and on. Okay? And then there was this work that was called for Paul to do, that you're going to see the church, the body of Christ. Not a church where you had to be born again. Right? That would be Israel that will be born again. Those who believe that died in their faith, guess what? They'll be born again. But a church, a body of Christ that is a new creature. Amen? There's your difference. And that's the body of Christ. The church in Paul's epistles speak only of the church, the body of Christ. When Peter preaches in Acts 2, he's sharing that this is the indication of the last days. The prophet Joel spoke about it, tongues, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, of course, is saved in Acts chapter 9. He's called out in chapter 13. And in Acts 20, he shares what was his and to him toward others. If you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, we were there just the other week. In Acts 20, 24. In Acts 20, 24, the Apostle Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Okay, now, many today bring up the issue of the church added to daily. Okay, now Paul has a ministry that we saw that was called by from Jesus Christ. Right?
wasn't from the Peter and the other 11, right? But a lot of people say, well, then what about the next argument is, what about the church being added to daily? What that has to do with being a new church, I don't know. But the Jewish church did continue to grow for a while. But what happened? The Word says in Acts 2:38 that all of Israel had to believe. All. Well, all didn't believe. And that's why that flock died in their faith. That's why Paul's message was the message for all today. In fact, go to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 41. Try not to move fast because these scriptures are so important that we see what we read. So we know for ourselves when the church, the body of Christ, started and when the prophecy program ended for this time being to be picking up later after Paul's epistles. In Acts 2:41, the Word says, "Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I can remember, I'm telling you, when people would think the Holy Spirit was moving in the church and people were coming to the altar, or 5 or 6 would join the church. I'm telling you, the excitement that would overwhelm everybody. I've sat in those congregations time and time again, and I'm telling you, I can remember preacher after preacher saying, "See, if we're doing the right thing, then the church will be added to daily," as if this is their church. But we see no picture of a new church. In fact, Peter preached himself, "This is that." He says, he goes towards being the end days. Okay, but anyway, it says, added about 3,000 souls, verse 42. "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." What was required for the Jews? Signs and wonders. Verse 44, "And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods." I'd like to see the people that join the church on the regular Sunday and everybody gets excited and says the church is added to daily. I'd love for that preacher to walk down there after that and say, "Okay, now what I need you to do, we need to get baptized." We always hear that. "I need you to pay your tithes." But you know, I wonder if he went ahead and he says, "We also need to set up a time where we can come to your property where we can get everything sold." I bet you they wouldn't be back the next Sunday. But they claim this is their church. Wouldn't that be amazing to have a group of men walk up and say, "After church we need to have a meeting with y'all so we can figure out what you own and how we can split this stuff up." I guarantee it'd be a different, they'd join a different church the next week, guaranteed. But anyway, unless you were very unwealthy, it'd be the place to go and join a church every week. Get everybody had all things in common. You may gain a lot out of that. I hadn't thought about that part yet. But anyway, it says in verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's huge. Such as should be saved. By the way, if they don't endure, they should be saved because they're believers, but they may not be. Correct? Not only that, should be saved today. It's individual. At the moment I trusted in what Christ did at the cross, that He forgave me of my sins, died for every one of them, was dead, buried, and resurrected, there's no should be saved. I was saved. Totally different. They're still looking for this salvation. Okay? They were still looking. And people will say, "That's our church today," but you don't see people going to church every day, in one accord every day. You don't see them breaking bread every day. But they tell you, "This is your marching orders." You can't do it. By the way, Israel couldn't do it. Right? These were believers. There's no doubt about it. They were Jewish believers who believed Jesus was the Messiah.
and they were Jewish believers or proselytes, those who became that as of a Jew. These were not added to the body of Christ. They were added to the Jewish church. The body of Christ hadn't been established or even began to be established yet because Paul had not been saved yet in Acts chapter 2. If Paul had not been saved yet, and Paul was given the ministry of the mystery of the revelation, the dispensation of the grace of God by which all men are saved now, then this could not be our church in chapter 2. In fact, go to 1 Timothy 1:16. Steve read this Sunday night, and one of the verses that he read Sunday night. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, this is a way that we can know. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is very clear here, and the Word is very clear. He says, howbeit, what Paul's talking about when he says, howbeit, he had talked about how evil he was, how on his way to Damascus, what was he going to do? He's going to get permission to kill anybody that was of the way of the Jews, that was a believer that Jesus was Messiah. So Paul says, you know, I was a sinner, I was a blasphemer. He goes on and shares all that he did, and then he says, howbeit, okay? He says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Well, believe on Him to life everlasting, being a pattern that it was given to Him first, there's an issue here that to live forever, you must follow the pattern that was given to Him. Because everlasting life is not the same as death. Right? They're different. But here's the thing. Peter said in chapter 2, these are the last days, didn't he? They were saying those things are coming to an end. Right? That's what Peter said. Paul said, in me first. So that would be what? Something that's new. That would be a new beginning. Correct? Something was what new was beginning, and it was beginning with Paul. So therefore, alone, we see nothing mentioned of a new church here. But yet we know Paul is saved here. We know that he was chief of sinners. He was killing any of those that were of the way that he could kill. But here he realizes Jesus Christ was the Messiah. In chapter 13, he's preaching this ministry that was given to him, that was separated, and that was given to him by Jesus Christ, not by Peter or not by the 12, right? And the issue is clearly that he has something that is in him first. So if these are the end, and it's clearly seen by Acts 15, that flock had passed on, correct? And Paul is preaching a new message. So that's why we know today for the body of Christ, the church started after Paul was saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 10. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, the Word says, I'm waiting for some of y'all, here you turn. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So there's a foundation that has been laid by Paul. If there's a foundation that had been laid by Paul, would it have been laid by any other? No.
And we need to be careful. We need to know the doctrine to where this started and how we build upon it. That means it is important when somebody shares an untruth and deceives people thinking that the Holy Spirit has to come upon you and that the church will be added to daily, as it was in Acts chapter 2, that we can correct them and say, hold it. Paul laid a foundation. Paul was the pattern that in him first for all to have life everlasting. Correct? We have to be careful because it will affect your doctrine if you believe the church started in Acts 2. Because that is not where the foundation was laid. Correct? If Paul laid the foundation, the reward is based upon it being built upon his foundations. Okay? What would there have been for those in Acts chapter 2? They would have received nothing because the foundation had not been laid. Correct? Couldn't. The foundation hadn't been laid. Peter's was a prophecy that was offered of a kingdom. In Peter's hope, when they were pricked in their heart in Acts chapter 2, they said, what must we do? And he says, all of Israel must be baptized. Must repent and be baptized, is what was said. All of Israel. There was a prophecy that was told that was going to come. And it was this that was that was spoken of. And it was in the end time. Correct? And all of Israel didn't believe. It was told before. In Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 14. Just a couple more verses. Chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24:14, this is what Christ said. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. What's the last part say? And then shall the end come. And at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter saying, this is that. The end's going to come. Because the end had to come before what? There could be a time of refreshing. For that kingdom to be set up and for them to rest in Christ, in this kingdom. And Peter thought, Christ has been crucified. They spent 40 days with him. He ascended, right? And they're waiting for him to come back and set this kingdom up. And Peter says, this is that that's coming to an end. We need to endure. And then we're going to have a time of refreshing. Have you noticed there was nothing about a dispensation of the grace of God in any of this? Why? They never knew about it. It was a mystery. They didn't have a clue that any of this was going to go on. They thought from Acts chapter 8 on that all this was going to pick up. Right? That's what they thought.
They didn't have a clue. I think Mark Rumfeller drew the best observation in that I can't remember, so I'm not even going to try, about how it was as if something wedged between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that was the grace of God that nobody knew about. This was preached before Christ even went to the cross. Go to Acts chapter 3. Give me 3 minutes. In Acts 3, look at verse 14. Look what Peter preached. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, and forgave us of all our sins. You don't see it all. It wasn't the issue. It says, God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They saw it. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So the issue was the fulfillment of prophecy. And that's what Peter preached in Acts 2. In Acts 3, those believed, the church was added to, because they did what Peter said they needed to do. And he's preaching again, the church continues to be added to. Peter was preaching here nothing that was new. Everything Peter preached was stuff that had been prophesied. Not a bit of it was new. Instead, it was that which was said would happen. It was, and it had been fulfilled. And Peter is getting them to take notice of those promises and those things that were made. He wanted those unbelievers to become, all of them to become believers. All of Israel had to believe, and that's what Peter had in store. In verse 19 in the same chapter, he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Is that not just totally clear? In closing, look at one difference that we see that we never saw Peter preach, but what Paul preached. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. So notice the difference. The word says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." So Paul is given this revelation of the mystery. In Galatians 1:11 it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The church started after Paul was saved. Because it was mystery, it was never given from any other man to him. It was given by Jesus Christ. Now, the same Christ. But the difference was, Christ gave orders here, and it was not the risen Christ. Paul had a message from the risen Christ. And that message was a mystery that was never known in times past. Well, it was never known, it was called a mystery, then it couldn't have been a new church either. The only thing that could be new was after Paul was saved, by which all are saved because he's the pattern. So don't be deceived, don't be fooled. Just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. But when the Word says it, it makes it true. There's no way the church could have started in Acts 2. Because it was something that was coming to an end, not a beginning.